This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3245 for Friday the 8th of January 2021. Today's show is entitled, Electricity. It is hosted by Operator, and is about 31 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, I talk about tips on electricity.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host, Operator. This one's going to be kind of an ad hoc thing. I was listening to some of the stuff that Klaatu was talking about and about drives, and it made me think about what I can do an episode on for while I'm sitting in traffic here. Managed to go the wrong way I got off on the wrong exit, so I'm sitting in copious amounts of traffic today. So I thought maybe I could use that time to do a quick episode here in the car. So apologize for the audio. But what I wanted to talk about today was kind of my diving into electricity and how it works to my understanding, and how sockets work, and how like three-way switches work. And how I was able to kind of troubleshoot all of that without actually knowing anything about how electricity works, or is supposed to work, for lack of a better term. So, the scenario usually is you want to swap out a switch, right? You have a switch, either it's cosmetically doesn't look right, or it's futzy, or really old and doesn't look right, and you want to swap a switch out. What I ended up doing is kind of giving up on the whole understanding about, you know, white and black and ground and neutral, and really understanding what that is, and really going just for using like an ohms meter. So get a cheaper ohms meter. You don't have to get like the $500 ones. You can just get a regular one. I wouldn't use one of those little probes that tells you if there's any electricity on the line or not. Like, it's a little LED probe. I don't know what they call them, but you basically wave the wand around and it says, oh, this outlet has power. Those are good from the standpoint of, you know, not getting shocked, potentially shocked from something. And I don't know what their limits are, but if you can get a nice ohms meter, some of them will actually have that on there. So you'll have like a little button on there, and you can use it to probe for current, electric current, and it uses, I guess, I don't know, some kind of higher math to detect whether or not electricity is there. So I'm not here to tell you anything about electricity. I'm here to tell you how I kind of troubleshooted my own electricity type of things, and some of the things you should and shouldn't do if you're trying to do this, figure this out on your own without really knowing and understanding or reading anything. So the first instance is swapping out a simple switch, right? And obviously what you can do is buy a nice label printer, a nice label printer for your circuit box or for your breaker box. And this takes a long time. My wife helped me with this, and it took about, I want to say, 2 hours or more to really label everything properly. And even then, you kind of have some guesses about where stuff is and what stuff turns on, and you sometimes just have to hit the main to save yourself some time in figuring out what's what. So you got a switch that you want to swap out, or you want to put in a dimmer or some fancy sensor base or occupancy sensor. So what you have to realize is, on older sockets or older switches or older dimmers, you have to keep in mind that LEDs and incandescent and then older switches and newer switches might not be compatible. So for example, I had a occupancy sensor and that had a dimmer on it, which a lot of them already have kind of dimmers built into them. But I had LED bulbs in there, and the occupancy sensor was all kind of glitched out because of the way the mirroring, I think it was the actual bulbs that were in there, operated differently. And I think they fixed that here more recently with the LED bulbs. They act more like, they act more friendly with these occupancy sensors and these dimmers and stuff. But the bulbs that I had in the fan when I replaced the fan bulbs to put in a new, like, occupancy sensor, it would kind of glitch out. So the occupancy sensor would think that it was off, or the light was off because of the way the frequencies and the LED works and the timing. So, for example, it would turn off and then somehow turn itself back on because of the way the bulb was, or something, some weird marrying between the electricity. So I don't know what the research is around it or how to figure it out, but just be mindful that things might get weird when you work with LEDs and dimmers and occupancy sensors and sensors and LED bulbs, because they're not incandescent bulbs and they're not always on or always off. They're, you know, the LED is constantly flickering on and off, and things get all glitchy when you bring in that into it. So after swapping out the bulbs to, I guess, different LED bulbs, I didn't have any problems. And I don't remember what I Googled to get the right kind of bulbs in there that would work with the occupancy sensor. So that was one little thing. And then obviously with the reader, if you use one of the, you know, there's electricity around me type of probes, you don't know what the voltage is on that line. So if you're trying to do troubleshooting and you're like, something's not turning on and you're waving the wand, it's like, oh, there's power there, but it's not turning on. What's the problem? I don't understand. And the reason you need a meter and a proper meter to read the voltage is sometimes there might be voltage leaking onto that line and giving you a false sense of voltage. So, for example, I've been told that there's instances where motors will kind of feed back energy or leak energy back into the line further down the line. So, for example, maybe you have like old HVAC unit or something like that, some kind of motor that is glitched out or whatever, and it can feed power back into the line and give you the false sense that that line is hot from the inside. And when I say the in route instead of the lead or the tail, whatever they call it, the anyways, there's a term for down the leg on the receiving leg. So you kind of had the receiving leg where the power, you know, is supposed to be coming in, and then you have the leg that goes out to further down the line to another switch or another outlet or whatever. Now that can cough up energy back in and cause you problems. So I'll give you another troubleshooting example where we were in our attic and the attic lights didn't work, and I couldn't figure it out. I swapped the bulb. I figured it was just the bulb or the switch, you know, the socket. So I swapped the socket out because it's old and rusted. And I swapped the socket out, plugged in a brand new light, and it still didn't work. Finally took the meter to it, and it was reading like, you know, 30 volts or something stupid. Like it should be, you know, the 120 or 220 or 240, right? So I knew something was wrong, and I shouldn't see, you know, 30 volts or 60 volts or anything like that on the line. It should be, you know, 120 or nothing. So, and it's usually a little higher, like 124, sometimes even 126, I've seen as like normal, for lack of a better term. And what it ended up being is there was a smoke detector that was an old smoke detector on the wall on that leg, and it was like shorting out or doing whatever and kind of leaking, losing power when it got down to the attic. So you have to understand that this stuff is most of the time plugged in series, and it's probably old or misconfigured or, you know, done wrong, or over time, you know, something gets fizzles out and something glitches out. And so you need to look for that 120 and start troubleshooting. So what I had to do is I had an ohms meter, and I was reading the voltage, and I was trying to find where the leak was. And what you can do is you can get like a really long cable, and the easiest way to do this is go to the store and buy some really cheap speaker wire. You don't want to buy like, you know, 1 gauge, and you also don't want to buy like a tiny, really thin gauge, because you put it on that 120 and it's going to just like fizzle away and explode and catch fire. So you obviously wanted to buy a big enough gauge for the 120. And I think I want to say 12 and 14, 13, something like that is the normal gauge for like lights and stuff. And don't quote me on any of this. I'm not an electrician at all. But I want to say it's like 13 or 12 or 14 is like the safe gauge to use, which is your normal, you know, thicker speaker wire. You can always be safe. So you get this long speaker wire, and you get you a couple of alligator clips. And you put alligator clips at both ends. And that will allow you to kind of trace the connectivity to from one place to another. And it looks a little childish, but it ends up working for me to figure out, okay, well, there's a connection here, and this is supposed to be, this ground is supposed to go to this thing over here, to troubleshoot where the connectivity issues are, or if you're not getting power, you can use that, like a long speaker wire cable to kind of do some troubleshooting as far as connectivity goes. Another thing you could do is purchase a tone generator, and you're probably familiar with how they work. You attach alligator clips to a thing, and they usually come with 9-volt batteries. You want to be sure to unplug all those batteries when they're done, because you'll end up potentially frying your tone generator. So always, if you ever get a decent one, and make sure you take the batteries out, because you don't want batteries leaking out inside of there and making a big mess and screwing up your thing when you're going to use it. I usually keep the batteries in, some 9-volt, good 9-volt batteries in with the unit, and I'll have a flathead screwdriver and take it apart, put it together. So anyways, you put this probe on one end that generates a tone, and then you wave the wand around to try to find the other end of where the leg is. So if you're looking for the upstream, you know, the receiving leg, you can futz around and kind of realize, oh, it's going up, so it's either going upstairs or going up to a white socket, and kind of troubleshoot it that way. And the main thing is realize that, you know, if you go start monkeying around and touching wires, the safest thing you can possibly do is just check the probe and make sure before you touch any wires that, you know, that you're not going to ground yourself out and whatever. So with the smoke detector issue, once I shorted out the line just to test, and you can buy little screw caps, obviously everybody probably has a thousand of them, the Terminator things where you screw the little piece of plastic dilly head on the tank to terminate, to twist two wires together and you terminate them. So you can have, usually if you buy like a lamp or a fan or something, you get two or three of those and you collect them over time. But I terminated with that, and then I was able to tell that now the attic was getting the proper 120 volts that it needed. And then I went from there and got some nice LED things and swapped them out. You can actually get all kinds of stuff for that. You can get like an occupancy bulb, which has like a little sensor on it. You can plug in line with a bulb, so it's like a... There's several ways to do it. You can just get a bulb, or I think you can get, or the option is you can get like an occupancy sensor socket that kind of screws into the socket. That's the occupancy sensor. And then you screw up whatever bulb you want to into that. And then you have your occupancy just using no switches or anything like that. That's another instance of kind of troubleshooting electricity. Here recently, I still haven't quite figured out the three-way switch stuff. Usually I just look at the instructions that came with whatever replacement three-way switch and figuring out where the red wire is supposed to go. I can't speak much to that because usually it's kind of a trial and error thing depending on however they want you to have the leads to come into the three-way switch. And I have seen at least one instance where wires came in and they weren't wired the right way. They were using like a ground to do another leg. So whatever wire is supposed to be, you know, hot, it's supposed to be, don't go by that. You want to use the meter again to make sure that the wire that's hot is supposed to be hot and the wire that's grounded is supposed to be ground. What they'll do sometimes is they'll break the instead of breaking the right line, instead of making the switch for example, you're turning the off switch, they'll hook the switch up to the actual ground instead of the live wire. So the light turns off because it's missing the neutral. It's missing the power. So what will happen is you turn off the light and you think that there's no power going to the light, but in fact that the light actually has power going to it, and they've just swapped the switch out to actually just lose the neutral wire. So that's one instance where you kind of have to be careful working on lights and stuff. Okay, you turn the light off, you think you're good, you need to make sure that there's not actually power still going to the light because of the way they jury-rigged something or just screwed up the switch. I'll give you an example of one way of not to play with electricity is I had a garage door opener I was trying to troubleshoot, and for whatever reason, I think... the contacts on the socket had oxidized. So, the oxidation, you know, kicks in around, you know, bad weather or weather conditions usually, or just, it's usually moisture in the air that will cause oxidation on the contacts. Usually it's on the hot side in the middle that will give you, issues. So this socket for the garage door that had a light on it wasn't working because I looked down in there, I could see that there was some oxidation in it. So me, stupid me, I get up on an 8-foot ladder and I have a knife to scrape off the oxidation on the outlet, and I do this live like an idiot instead of, because I'm going back and forth, I'm troubleshooting, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I have the meter out, I have the wire live hot, and I'm trying to make sure, you know, that indeed is the problem, is the oxidation. So I troubleshoot it. I realized that the oxidation is because of the socket, and the light socket in the back is all oxidated. If you don't have this, buy some. It's a lifesaver. It's called contact cleaner, and you can buy all kinds of expensive kind. I usually buy the gold, whatever, some or other fancy stuff that has like a lubricant in it. And it's usually safe to put on most electronics. You want to be clear to not put it on like spray an LCD, because it will kind of jack it up for a while and sometimes permanently damage your LCD screens. So you want to be, it's like an aerosol basically. So you want to be careful spraying that stuff on LCDs. I've seen it damage, that's about it really. I've seen it just make stuff all greasy and gross. But what it'll do is it'll eat away at that oxidation and allow you to kind of scrape off whatever oxidation crap is on there. Works great for like, you know, you leave something plugged in, you leave the batteries in something too long, right? You spray it, let it sit for a while, maybe spray it again depending on how bad it is, let it sit for a while, and then you want to take like a, if you have like a little Dremel tool or a metal brush, you can brush it off and or hit it with a Dremel tool and kind of buff out that stuff. You obviously want to use, when you're doing this, if you're using the Dremel tool, you want to use goggles, because you'll scrape, when you scrape off the stuff, oxidation off of like a remote or whatever usually happens with like a TV remote or a Wii remote or something that you haven't used in a long time, you'll have little flecks of the battery acid flicking off all over the place, and you don't want that going in your eyes because that's not fun. I didn't get it in my eyes, but I had some flick off into my face once, and I said, you know what, this would probably be a good idea to be wearing some safety glasses when I'm, you know, have chunks of battery acid are going everywhere. So you want to be cognizant of that. But anyways, I'm sitting on this 8-foot ladder with a knife, scraping the hot end of a light socket. I'm being very careful not to, you know, short myself out with the, and it's also a metal knife, believe it or not. It's a metal knife that I'm scraping the contacts with, all metal, you know, the handle is metal and everything. So I'm not thinking that part all the way through. I'm sitting on an 8-foot ladder, and I was okay until my elbow had touched the ground of the because the ladder I was working was a fiberglass ladder, and as you know and would assume, the fiberglass isn't conductive, and also a lot of your little ladders will have little rubber feet on the plastic feet on the bottom to keep you from being grounded, and that's not a security feature, that's just a whatever. So I wasn't actually grounded at the time when I was up there. So the whole time I'm holding onto this metal knife and scraping away at the oxidation, I'm basically waiting to be grounded. on a 120 drop. So I'm sitting there scraping away, and then my elbow hits the railing, the guide railing for the garage, and my elbow hits that, and I get grounded out and get a nice clean shock, because I'm holding on to a metal knife on an 8-foot ladder, and then my elbow hits a nice big piece of grounded metal and shocks me pretty good on it. It was actually a bolt on the thing, so it was like kind of just sticking out there on the very tip, and I got a nice jolt. And that was just basic troubleshooting stuff and basic kind of safety deal. Do your due diligence, you know, before you start messing with something, even if it's live. Be like, do I really need to be working on this live? Can I do this without working on it live? You know, unless you're standing in a bucket of water, it's not really going to make or break your day. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to get shocked and it's not any fun. So just try to realize, if you're working on live wires, when you're working on them, make sure, do I need to be working on this live, or am I just too lazy to go turn off the circuit breaker or turn off the switch or whatever? I'm trying to think of the one I'm going to be talking about recently, and was kind of more frustrating, was we had to replace, we're getting some walls taken down in our house, we had to replace all of the outlets, a lot of the outlets in the rooms that they're working in, because they needed to be the new kid safety ones. And I'll tell you, these new ones are like, have little plastic, they're basically kid safe or whatever. So they have these little plastic doors on them. And I think the idea is that you have to plug it in both at the plug in both slots at the hot and the you have to plug them both at the same time for the thing to let you pass the plastic gate. So the idea being that if the kid or whoever has a piece of metal and they shove it into the hot end, it's not going to open without something also being shoved in the other end. So what ends up happening is that when you're trying to do probing and stuff, I wasn't able to successfully easily check whether or not there was power going to these new fancy, they weren't the GFI ones, they're just new fancy outlets. I don't know what they call them, but they're frustrating. So anyways, we get these fancy outlets, we start to swap them out, and some of them have an extra leg off them, and some of them were wonky, like one, the top side, where like you have the socket, the first socket up top, and then the bottom socket down low, and some of them had like, you know, the neutral at the top, and then like the hot at the bottom, or like, it was weird, they'd be all kind of swapped around. But after doing some troubleshooting and trying to figure out where each wire goes and where the power is coming from, and just like taking it straight, like just taking the wire straight and being like, okay, this is obvious, this wire, using the tracing, this wire obviously goes outside to the socket that looks all jacked up. I'm going to replace the socket outside and then figure out where it goes and where its power is coming from, and just kind of taking it just step by step. I kind of started to realize how the switches were put together and how everything is connected. And I don't know if it was because of when I was troubleshooting, sticking the probes in these new fancy outlets, sometimes I would get like 18 volts and it was all weird and wasn't consistent. And I'm like trying to figure out what's going on. And of course I touch the wires and I get the 120 just fine. So there's something weird about these new fancy plastic, you know, ones that you have to use when you're doing work now. They make you switch out to these new outlets that are just frustrating. It's a bit like the gas cans that they make you use now, that are like the safety gas cans, where you end up spilling gasoline all over the place, which is somehow safer than just having a gas can that will actually pour gas out of. So the new gas cans have this, you know, this fancy little safety switch thing, and then you have to like burp it, and like, because if you don't burp it and get some of the air out before you close it in the summertime, your gas can expands into a giant thing and, you know, looks like it's about to explode. But anyways, it's a bit like that. It's a little frustrating, the safety stuff trying to make its way into your house. But anyways, I after kind of just removing the outlets on the problem areas I had, I was able to trace the wires, figure out where the power is coming from, figure out where most of the legs were going to, you know, maybe they go to an outlet and then to a light outside. checking to make sure that, you know, the current's good, the connection's good. And then I think on these newer outlets, maybe it was just the way I was using the probes and I couldn't get the probe in right, and maybe it was fine the whole time. Or maybe these new outlets have some kind of fancy, you know, one-way power thing. Because there was a sticker on the bottom that said, hey, if you're gonna do more than one leg off of this, if you're gonna do the leg, the receiving electricity has to be on the top circuit and the bottom is supposed to be for the outbound, or the leg end, the outbound leg. So once I said, okay, well, you I don't know if it's just kosher to do it that way or if that's the way it has to be done with these outlets, I put the input, you know, the power in at the top socket, and I put the power out at the bottom socket. And then there was another leg going to another outlet that was like on the other side of the wall. And once I did that, everything worked fine. And what I realized then is that, okay, I need to do better probing. And the idea that I came up with is you can buy it like really anywhere. You can buy the replacement sockets for like your vacuum cleaner. So like if you pull your vacuum cleaner cord too hard and the sock, you know, the thing comes frayed, you can buy a replacement socket. And that's what I'm planning to use next time when I'm trying to troubleshoot these stupid new outlets, and put some nice, you know, set it up to so where I can shove the probes in there and it actually gives me power to test the socket. It might be one step extra, but I don't have to, like, I felt like when I was trying to probe the new sockets, these fancy new KidSafe sockets, you have to, like, jury-rig the probe around and, like, wave the probe around to try to get the power, and it was just, like, it didn't feel comfortable, you know, taking the probe and just yamming around inside of the socket to try to find where the hell the power is coming from or going to. So I'll probably be doing that next time. Let's see, what else? Trying to think of some other tips for like electricity and 120 type of stuff. And oftentimes, you know, you try to troubleshoot something and you can't figure out what's going on. Sometimes I'll just hit the main because I don't really feel like trying to figure out how it's all wired together. And of course that resets all your clocks and all that shit. But at the end of the day, if you're trying to make sure that there's no power to something, really the best thing to do is just hit the main if that's not going to be too big of a deal breaker for you. Which is what I did at one point in time, because there were multiple people working on multiple outlets and multiple sides of the house. And I was like, is this hot? Is this not hot? I don't know. And I was testing it anyways. Like, you know what? I'm just going to hit the main and everybody can do whatever the hell they want and not have to worry about being shocked in theory. Sometimes you do that. Sometimes you have instances where, you know, you're getting power, but you don't know where it's coming from. And one way to kind of troubleshoot that is to start systematically turning off each circuit until you figure out which one is giving you the power. So, for example, you're on a circuit that's not supposed to be powered, but yet you're getting voltage on the line. To figure out where that voltage is coming from, you can do some troubleshooting by dropping out each circuit, or a number of circuits at a time, and be like, okay, well, this bottom half of the circuit breaker, it's not anywhere here because I still see voltage. All right, well, I'm gonna flip the whole bottom half back on and flip the top half. Oh, looks like the voltage has gone away. Okay, I'm gonna flip top of the half of the top half back on. Okay, well, it looks like I've got voltage now, so it's got to be one of these four. And you can narrow it down a lot quicker instead of having to like go one by one. So that's one way to kind of troubleshoot, you know, once you figure out what circuit it's on, and if you've labeled it properly, you give you an idea of where to start. What I found out is these outdoor, at least in our instance, is like a 30-year-old house, the outdoor sockets seem to be kind of weird in their setup. I think we had an outdoor socket going downstairs and upstairs. And then like in the bathroom or something. I don't really know how it was set up, but I think the outdoor sockets seemed a little weird, in that regard, because I don't know if they have to be on their own circuit or something like that. But whenever I end up trying to figure out the outdoor outlets or outdoor sockets, it's always weird to figure out what they're connected to, because, they have to be on like a GFI circuit or something like that. I think, I don't know how it works, but the idea is like, you know, your kitchen and your bathrooms are supposed to have those fancy GFI sockets that have like the test button, so if something happens they'll short out. So it's a little crazy, right? You got your hair dryer. Your hair dryers, some of your hair dryers have a little breaker on them. And then from there you got the GFI, right? So that's another breaker. And then you have the actual breaker at the breaker box. So, you know, when I'm using my hair dryer in the bathroom downstairs, there's three breakers in between me and the actual power that's going to that circuit breaker or that circuit. So if anything happens in that line across the three places, I'm going to be just perfectly fine. So that's something to keep in mind too, is that these things pop, circuit breakers pop, and kind of troubleshooting that is another fun thing to do. I think that's pretty much it. I can't think of any other kind of hints or tips for electricity. And again, like, I'm sure there's people listening to this and like cringing and being like, this guy has no clue as to what he's doing. But I do know, you know, hot is hot and ground is ground. And once you kind of figure out, you know, you separate all the wires and figure out where the power is coming from and where the legs are going, it doesn't really matter if you know what you're doing. You just know that, okay, this has to come in and this has to give me power, and then this power has to be daisy chained down the line to somewhere else. Whether or not I know where that is, sometimes I don't. But it's just a matter of, like, you know, figuring out where the power is, where it's going, and where you're missing voltage and where, you know, stuff is leaking around, and just basic troubleshooting of electricity is how I'm able to kind of figure stuff out at the end of the day. Anyways, good times. Be safe.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.